In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For our sermon this morning on the teachings and writings of the Apostle Paul, we turn to his first letter to the young pastor Timothy. We read in the fourth chapter, verses 7 and 8. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Godliness is more than merely piety and sanctity. It can mean that, and there's a word for godliness in Greek that gives that meaning. Here the Apostle Paul uses a different word that is translated English as godliness. And that word is much broader. That word really talks about all of the teaching, all of the wisdom, all of the faith and life that comes in the Christian religion. It's a word really that describes everything about us that separates us from unbelievers that the Holy Spirit has given us as a gift for our lives. It is a complete existence that we have as those who, as Christians, bear our Savior's name. Does it pay to be a Christian? Does it pay to be godly? This is a question that I'll suggest that both non-believers who are contemplating the Christian religion and we who are believers can often ask ourselves. Is there an advantage? Do we have a step up, so to speak, in this life because of that godliness that we are as the children of God? The gospel of Christ, of course, is only as effective as it is used. The contemplation of godliness is really of no value. That would be a little bit like, you see these mud races now that everybody's in? And at the end of them, they're standing there and they're just completely covered in mud. Well, contemplating the Christian religion would be about as valuable as standing there contemplating a bar of soap. It's not going to do any good unless you use it. In the words of our text, the Apostle Paul talks about using that godliness. Using it because it has a great advantage, both for our life in the present and our life in the future. And there are those who mock us for that, who discredit and discount the value of the Christian religion. So this morning, we'll take some time based on Paul's word to consider the high value of the Christian religion. As we talk about the high value of Christian religion, we realize that our godliness is something that we can compartmentalize apart from our daily activities. Take such a simple thing as business, for example. Godliness has great value in business. Those of you who are in the business world cannot separate that world from the godliness that you are as a child of God. You're told often, I suspect, that in order to get ahead, in order to be successful, you have to be everything but godly. You have to only think about yourself. You only have to think about getting ahead at all costs. And those all costs may include hurting your neighbor, may including stepping on people as rungs of the ladder on your way up. Nothing could be further from the truth. Godliness is of great value in business. Employers around the Mequon, Wisconsin area love to have seminary students as employees. And they love to have them because they're of great value to them. Because they're honest, they're dependable, they're humble, and they're loving to each other and to the people that they deal with. Many of you are successful in business because you are godly. We all know people who are successful in business as the Lord has rewarded them by His grace as they conduct themselves in the business world in godliness. A godly employer can do much to build his business. Godly employees can do much to build a business. It is the lack of godliness that destroys lives and businesses. It is dishonesty, laziness, and the lack of other Christian virtues that destroy success, that destroy businesses and companies as they are brought to ruin by their turning away from God's righteousness. Godliness also is of great value to our nation. Nations are not Christian or not. Its citizens are Christians or not. We are Christians in America. We are godly people who live out our godliness in our daily lives. When a Christian, when you and I practice charity and morality among our nation, then other people are blessed, and so are we. The entire nation is blessed as we live our lives in Christian morality. Someone once asked the statesman from Massachusetts, Charles Sumner, if anybody had ever tried to bribe him to get something, or how many times somebody had tried to bribe him to get something. And Sumner said, never. Nobody's ever tried to bribe me. And if you read about Sumner, you read that he was a highly moral person, that he lived his life maybe not necessarily by the Ten Commandments, but by the natural knowledge of the law that God had written in his heart. And people knew that they couldn't even approach him because they knew that he would not do something ungodly in order to get ahead himself. We cannot turn America. We're not evangelicals who believe that we can turn America into a theocracy. You're not going to be able to get everybody in the United States to want to obey the Ten Commandments because there are a lot of people in the United States who are unbelievers. But we can teach them and by our lives enable them to bring more in focus that natural knowledge of God's right and wrong, that natural knowledge of Christian mortality, and their Christian meaning what we would do from the Ten Commandments as a fruit of our faith. The Proverbs say, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. You and I can do what we can as individual Christians in our godliness to try to get people to live under the natural law for the peace and the safety and the benefit of our country. Godliness is of great value in creating and sustaining a good home life. Parents, through our godly words and our godly examples, help our children to grow and learn what is right and wrong. Where do problems come from in families with children? It is because of our parents or because of the parents. Either by being too harsh with them in an unloving way, or by being too liberal with them in an unloving way. Godliness involves love and discipline. It involves firmness and strictness. It involves what Paul said to the Ephesians, fathers and mothers, bring up your children in the training and instruction in the Lord. Sometimes godly parents have ungodly children. Sometimes ungodly parents have godly children. Those are the exceptions to the rule. Generally speaking, it is godly parents who are loving, forgiving, firm, and consistent, who are godly in their own lives, who produce godly children, who pass that godliness on down to their children. Every father and mother sets the tone in the family. What are the priorities? What is our relationship with God? What is true godliness? It is not just some outward religion that looks good to men, but rather it is that heart that is changed by the forgiveness that we have in Christ. That is the godliness that grows in us through the gospel. We need to realize and remember what happens, what can happen to families when God and His Word and His will are left out of the family dynamic. Godliness in connection with this is also of great value in marriage. Someone once sarcastically said the greatest cause of divorce is marriage. It's a rather cynical and ungodly way of looking at it. I've even had people tell me that the reason that they don't get married but choose to live together in sexual immorality is that so many marriages end in divorce. And we just don't want to sin against God like that. Godliness is being married. It is following God's example of being husband and wife. What God has joined together, man is not to put asunder or to break apart. Marriage doesn't cause divorce. Infidelity, cruelty, harshness, those are the things that cause divorce. Godliness empowers a husband and a wife to be forgiving, to be loving, to not keep a record of wrongs, to do all those things that we heard Paul describe last week in 1 Corinthians 13, of what love really is. Godliness brings to husbands and wives that love that God says we are to have. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. In that love that Christ has had for us, submit to one another in love, just as God has loved us. Godliness is of great value also in pleasure. One of the places God really gets a bum rap, we might say, or people bear false witness against God or take God's name in vain, you've heard it, God doesn't want me to have any fun. Well, that's because the devil lies to us and says that to really have fun, you have to be ungodly. To really enjoy pleasure, you really have to disregard God. If God would just get out of my life and leave me alone, then I would really be happy. Then I will really have a happy and fulfilled life. It is not in godlessness that we find pleasure. It is in godlessness that we find sorrow. It is in the devil's lies that we are hurt and led astray from what is really pleasurable and really enjoyable. All other things being equal, it is when we follow the Ten Commandments, when we follow God's Word as a fruit of faith, when we live our lives in godliness as that broader, complete package of all we are, the forgiven children of God who now want to do His will, then we are happier. Then we really have pleasure in the things that really matter, the things that are really important. Then we find pleasure in the one thing needful, which is hearing God's Word. If we were to say to God, "Leave us alone," we'd be like the farmer who said of his crop, "I'm just going to leave it alone so it really grows into a great crop." Well, if the farmer left it alone, it certainly would not grow into a good crop. If God were to leave us alone, then we would only have heartache and pain. Finally, godliness is of great value in adversity and even in death. We heard last week Moses say to Israel shortly before his death that they would be above God's everlasting arms, that God would hold those everlasting arms under them and they would be safe in all adversity. We heard it in our second lesson this morning. All things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. I may not always see it. I may not always appreciate it. But it is always for my good. And part of my godliness is seeing that truth and trusting in that truth, especially on my deathbed. All of us, we Christians, have questions about death. I remember my bishop when I was vicaring told me, "Don't ever say to a Christian or make them think that if you're afraid to die, you're not a Christian. That you should just be happy and willing to die or have one of your loved ones die at any time." We still have our sinful natures. We still fear the uncertainty of death. And that's why when the terrors of death begin to flood over us, we need something to stem the flood. We need something to overflow us instead of terror. And what overflows us is that godliness, is that relationship that we have with God. It is God's grace that overflows us when we fear death or at the time of the death of a loved one. It is the grace of God that fills our hearts and theirs and comforts us as we pass over that Jordan River of death into the promised land of heaven. We may wonder, when will I die? How will I die? What will happen when I face my Creator? It is the grace of God that gives us assurance and hope and strength for ourselves and for our loved ones. What's going to happen? How am I going to feel when I come face to face with God? I'm going to be very happy. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be at perfect peace because I know that the blood of Christ has washed away all of my sins. I know that the Holy Spirit has given me the gift of godliness, so that I stand before my Heavenly Father as one of His holy, righteous children, no different than His eternal Son, Jesus. There are going to be those who mock us, who are against what we believe. And so, Paul says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Certainly we would put all false religion under godless myths and old wives' tales. Physical exercise has some great value and we should take care of our bodies. But the high value of godliness is even greater, because it is of great value not only for this present life, but also for the life to come. Amen.